Well, this is our Ingram campus over here. Even though we are adjacent to the prison, we are not part of the prison per se. The prison has a warden, and he is in charge of the officers here at the gate. Okay. And they're waiting on permission from him to let you in. Right. So, but Ingram is a separate entity. We're part of the post-secondary system, just like any of the other community colleges. We are unique in the nation in that we're the only two-year college in the nation that only serves incarcerated individuals.
Right. Whose idea was that? And how long has it been around?
Been around since the mid-60s, early 60s. So it's been around for a while. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Somebody you know?
Yes, that's one of the interns that works with us. We use a lot of interns here for counseling.
Oh, okay.
We have interns from Auburn University, from Alabama State University, and from Troy University currently.
Okay.
One of the things we try very hard to do is maximize the resources available. This is a new program we started. About 2 years ago, the school got a new president, and he came in with a vision that it's not enough just to give our students trade skills. They also need life skills. Because even if they have the ability to weld, great, they still have to be able to get along with coworkers and bosses and live in the community.
Get to work on time.
Get to work on time, all those things. So he had this vision, and he brought me on board. And so what we started doing is looking at all the research nationally, and we developed a really strong program based on, you know, the state-of-the-art in research and what works. And we've got, I think, a really good model. And at this point, we're doing it on a very small scale. Our intent was to be operating a larger scale at this time, but just resources have not been what we had hoped. And so we are doing a pilot. And hopefully you'll get to see some of that in action.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so J.F. Ingram's been around for a while working with the prison population. What's new is this sort of emphasis on life skills, and that's something that y'all started, was it last fall?
This is the first semester that we really had classes. There was a ramp-up period when we're, again, doing the research, developing the program, looking for grants, looking for funding. We've not been successful at that yet. But again, we've know that what we have in place will work. It will keep people from coming back to prison. And there's a big push now to reduce recidivism. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big challenges in the prison system is, you know, tremendous numbers of people leave prison and come back. In Alabama, roughly a third, 34, 35% will come back to prison within 3 years.
Right.
The prisons struggle. They're close to 200% capacity. So one way to reduce that strain is to keep people from coming back. And so this is what the research says works.
Right.
We believe that what we're doing can, the people who come to our program, we can cut that recidivism rate in half for those.
And that's based on research and other similar programs elsewhere in the country.
I've got some things I'll share with you to take back with you. For example, the Justice Department did a study last year in which they showed that education alone reduced recidivism by 46%, which is huge. The programming we use are what's known as best practices, meaning that they've been tested with this population and they work. You know, we study after study after study says, hey, when you give this programming to this group of people, they recidivate at a lower rate. So it's pretty straightforward. You know,
how big a struggle is it for you to get the funding that you need?
It's been a big struggle, and that's not really my domain. That's our president's role to do that. Funding is tight in the state. We are funded through the Department of Education and also through the state legislature has a hand in that. And again, that's not my area of expertise. But we have had some cuts in funding. And that makes it a challenge.
The interns work for free?
Interns work for free. So they, it's part of their educational experience. We provide supervision. I'm a licensed counselor, and that's part of the requirements that they get supervision from me. So we have some great relationships with a lot of the colleges. Auburn in particular is somebody we've worked with a lot on research. They've helped us design our program. We intend to do some research, too, on what we're doing, and Auburn will help us, you know, structure that in a way that can be published and be presented in a meaningful way. Eventually, we hope to show that, hey, we are making a difference, and this is not only cost-effective, but a cost savings. And again, the recidivism rate is based on 3-year time periods. It doesn't take that long to get a return on this investment.
Or at least a measure of it.
Well, a measure of it. But again, 3 years. But in 3 years, a lot of people are going to go through these doors. A lot of people are not going to get this. A lot of people are going to come back to prison. And, you know, we have, again, the backing of a pretty substantial body of research that says, let's do this. We do look at grants, and the grants look for programs based on the research. And so that's kind of helped us shape our program, too, because they say this is what works, and this is what we'd like to see people doing. But to this point, we've not been able to get those grants.
So the young, the interns, the counseling interns, they're not in there like one-on-one with a prisoner without you there or without someone else there? Is that how it works usually?
They provide individual counseling, and they will meet one-on-one with the students, as we call them.
Okay. So the reason you got into this, the reason these interns may get into this, I mean, is this really a calling? Obviously, y'all aren't in this for the money.
This is important work that we're doing. When I tell people what I do, I see this shift that people make when they think of inmates. And there's this class of people known as inmates that they have this idea about, which is not really an accurate idea.
How so?
What you actually have is a lot of individual people, wide ranges.
Diverse groups.
Yeah. Now, they have broken the law. You know, they have done bad things sometimes. They do have victims out there, and we don't lose sight of that. But at the same time, we know that 95% of the people in prison will get out. That is a fact. And they will live in our communities. And in order to be successful, they need to have jobs. They need to know how to live in society. They haven't always had the opportunity to learn how to live in mainstream society. And so that's what we're doing. We're teaching them to do that. And when I talk to them, if I say, you know, what do you want your life to be like in 5 years? And the answer I get more than anything is, I just want to have a house. I want to go to work every day. I want to have my family. I just want to have a normal life. I mean, these are not great aspirations. They just want a normal, calm life. But they're scared that they can't get that. That seems unreachable to many of them.
For good reasons sometimes, right?
For good reasons.
Based on what they've seen, what they've done, what they've experienced.
Sure. But we want to make it possible for them to achieve that. Because that serves all of us. That serves society. You know, when they have jobs and they're paying taxes instead of sitting in prison. The Vera Institute of Justice did a study looking at the cost of incarceration, and in Alabama that cost is around $18,000 a year per person. Nationally, that number is much higher. Nationally, that number is around $31,000. So Alabama spends a little over half the national average per inmate.
Right. Well, costs here are lower. I mean, labor costs, supply costs, everything a little lower.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for whatever reason. But I suspect that cost will go up over time of what we're paying here now. And when people come back to prison, they don't come back for 1 year. They come back for multiple years. So every person we keep out of prison, we're saving the state, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars, not to mention that we're putting them back in the workforce, back in the tax base. So from a financial perspective, it just makes sense.
Right.
Of course, there's also the human perspective.
So what do you say to the sort of very, very fiscally conservative people who say, you know, you're spending money on these people who have already broken the law. Why don't we take that all that effort and the money and focus it on the regular schools to serve people who have not gotten in trouble yet? What would you say to them?
I say this is a very, very good investment that will have a very good return on your money in a very short period of time. For every dollar you spend, you're going to recoup $4 or $5 in the next 3 years. And again, that's direct expense. That's not counting people who have jobs now and are paying taxes. That's not counting the savings you make on social services to take care of kids whose parents are in prison. That's not counting the future cost. You know, kids whose have parents in prison, they don't do as well. And they become a drain on the system over time. And it's like if there were an epidemic and a third of the population is going to get this disease and they're going to have to go to the hospital for a long, long time. But then we have this vaccine that we can give them. Half of them will keep them out of the hospital. Do we give that vaccine and save all that money, not to mention the lives? Well, to me, it seems pretty obvious that, yes, that's what we do.